The Colindale Gazette is the new podcast from Brian and Roger's Dan Skinner.
If you've got a story for the Colindale Gazette, leave a message, and if we like what we hear, we'll get back to you.
I wonder if any of your readers would be interested in this. It's quite personal. I've never told anyone this, but I've never had much luck in life.
So search for The Colindale Gazette wherever you get your podcasts. You won't regret, you might regret it.
Cheese and Pickle.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cheese and Pickle.
Brian and Roger by Dan Skinner and Harry Peacock.
This episode of Brian and Roger is set in November 2020.
Morning, Roger. I've just had a call from Matt Hancock, who I'm sure you're aware is the health secretary. He worked under me at Sotheby's in the mid-90s before he got into politics, and I took him under my wing briefly, and he calls me very occasionally when he needs advice for stag do's or after-dinner gags, things like that. Anyway, he's looking for ways to wind down of an evening, and I suggested a few things, but he needs to keep it clean whilst he's in office. And he wondered if I knew anyone who could teach him the banjo. I have a vague memory that you play a bit. Have I gone mad, or have I got that right? Give me a ring when you can. No huge rush. All right, cheers, Rog. Bye.
Hello, Brian. Roger here. Wow. Matt Hancock, I didn't know that you knew him. God, he must be very stressed out at the moment. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I worry for days if I think a bus driver misconstrued something I said as rude or, you know, something like that. I can't imagine how you cope when so many people are expecting you to sort everything out, you know, especially a sort of global pandemic. You know, it's obviously very, very difficult, and yeah, blimey. I do play the banjo, actually. My big brother taught me when I was 11. He taught me to play, so it was just to try and take my mind off the fact that my dad had just left. So I can play a bit. I don't know if I could teach the banjo necessarily, and you know, and it might dredge up quite a lot of emotions for me because I haven't seen David, my brother, for a long time now. He was working on an oil rig off the coast of Scotland, but that was about 10 years ago now, and I haven't heard from him. I don't know. But yeah, in theory, I could teach Matt Hancock the banjo. I suppose it's, you know, I have to see it as my civic duty, you know, if it would help him wind down a bit, I'd be doing my bit for the country. Okay, thanks, Brian. I mean, I hope you're well, mate. Speak soon. Bye-bye.
Hi, Rog, it's Brian. Okay, brilliant. Look, he could do Tuesdays after the press briefing at number 11. So some people are going to come to Anne's to check you out, and then you'll have the all clear, You'll be picked up and escorted to a private room at number 11 for 1 hour every Tuesday if it goes well. And if he makes progress, then you might be required to see him more often. I've said that's fine on your behalf. Look, this is obviously all quite exciting, and I just need you to sort of keep cool and you know, only speak when you're spoken to and that kind of thing. Don't fuck it up, Rog, because I've got a feeling something will come of this. I'm not entirely sure what yet, but yeah, it's great. All right, mate. Speak soon. Bye.
Hello, Brian. Roger again. Oh, my goodness. Right, okay. Well, I mean, first things first, I will obviously need a banjo, mate, because my banjo is still in Claire's loft. So I'll need a banjo, and Matt Hancock will need a banjo, obviously. So maybe when the people come over to sort of check me out, they can bring a couple of banjos. Are they from MI5 or where or what? Yeah, I mean, I just want to brush up on the banjo before I start teaching, because it might be a little rusty. You know, I don't want to let the country down. I'm going to do my best, Brian, but it has been a while. And I'm not going to tell Anne anything, or Jamie, or Claire, or anyone at the benefits office either, as it's, you know, it's probably a code red or whatever. I'm just guessing. Okay, cool. I'll keep you posted. Okay, thanks, mate. Bye-bye. Hello, Brian. It's Roger here. Matt Hancock says hello, first and foremost. He's very emotional, isn't he? Very, very tactile, in fact. I wasn't quite sure what to expect. Very hands-on. The Special Forces people were great. They'd done all their background checks on me. They knew all about my legal battles with Frankie and Benny's and the fact that I live with Anne rent-free. I told Anne that they'd come to see if I wanted to join the army, but she wasn't fussed because, you know, she's glued to Everyone Loves Raymond at that time anyway, so she, you know, didn't bat an eyelid. They transported me in a blacked-out Range Rover, and there were two of them. I'm not entirely sure why there were two of them, but I went in the one behind. It was overwhelmingly spacious, huge thing. Both banjos were labelled with our names, and I practised somewhere over the rainbow and when I'm cleaning windows all the way to Downing Street, and I'm happy to say I've still got the knack, thank God. Once I'd been searched, they blindfolded me and they took me into a room and sat me down, and I had a banjo in each hand, and I waited and waited, and it must have only been about 10 minutes, but it felt like ages. And then a nervous voice told me to remove my blindfold, and there stood Matt Hancock in a shell suit. I suppose he had some time off. He'd obviously been crying, and he couldn't make eye contact with me, but I did everything I could to try and calm him down, and eventually I gained his trust, and I got the banjos out, but it took so long to get him to sit down and relax that we didn't really have long, you know, actually playing the banjo. But he did strum it a bit, and then he burst into laughter, which then turned into tears. He kept apologising, and I kept telling him, it's okay, you know, it's okay, don't worry. Then a knock came at the door, and the Special Services guys asked me to go with them, and Matt begged me to come again, saying he hadn't had that much fun in a long time. I said, of course I will. And then they took me back to Anne's, and they gave me a phone, and they told me to be ready the same time next week, so guess it's gone okay. Yeah, okay, mate, I hope all's well your end. Okay, bye.
Hi, Rog. Fuck me, that sounds weird. Sounds like something out of a Stanley Kubrick film. Look, I don't want to sound like a cunt, but when someone that powerful is that vulnerable, you've got to take advantage of that, haven't you? I mean, he sounds fucked, really desperate, so we've got to play this sweet, Rog, do you understand? Okay, tight as a whistle, and he obviously really likes you and trusts you, so just more of the same, you know, ask him questions, listen to him, nod,
nod a lot, let him hug you, etc. And then bang, we fuck him for all he's got and we walk into the sunset. So I'm just going to ruminate on this, probably get Laszlo involved in some capacity, and we should make a move probably by the third or fourth week, I'm guessing. Okay, so, but really great, Rog. Really great. Well done, mate. Okay, keep me posted. Bye.
Hello, Brian. It's Roger here. Look, I've barely slept a wink. The motorcade came and got me in the middle of the night. They woke me up whilst I was asleep on Anne's sofa. God knows how they got in. They didn't even let me get dressed. So I just grabbed the banjos and they gave me a blanket once I was in the Range Rover, which is such a nice Range Rover. It's off cream leather interior with silver chrome panelling and heated seats. So it is really, really comfortable. And the guy in the passenger seat offered me a swig of brandy, which I thought I'd best decline. Anyway, before I knew it, I was being led along the same corridor in a blindfold. I knew it was the same corridor because it smelt of pine wood and bleach, very distinctive. And then I sat again with a banjo in each hand and a blanket draped over my shoulders like a member of the IRA, you know, but with banjos. After a while, I just decided to take the blindfold off, and Matt Hancock was kneeling 2 meters away, so was just staring at me, and it was quite disconcerting. My instinct was to look for a door and leave, but I just couldn't see one. I think it must have been, you know, some, one of those safe rooms that they have. But then Hancock produced a small knife and started to cut his arm. I jumped on him and somehow managed to disarm him, and then he bit me and I screamed, but he shoved his fist in my mouth to silence me. And then he started to shake with such intensity, I thought he was going to have a fit. So I held him as tight as I could, and this turned into me rocking him on the floor like a child. But, you know, the cut wasn't that bad, and a nurse appeared and bound the wound, didn't say a word, and then just left us. So I got the banjos out, and I held one towards him, but he just looked at the floor, uninterested. So I, you know, I just tentatively asked him if he was okay, and his face sort of lit up. "Nobody has ever asked me that question," he replied. "Well, are you okay?" I repeated. You know, he said, "No." "What's wrong?" I asked. He looked at me, and then the words just sort of came tumbling out of his mouth, and he said, "I met a bloke in a pub in Wolverhampton that offered him a huge contract to make PPE worth millions." "All right," I said, "you know, what's wrong with that?" "I'd never met him before," he said, and it turns out he was a pornographer. He made the PPE to a very high standard, but printed loads of photographs of tits and dicks on the front of it for a laugh. You know, I didn't know what to say, you know. And then he said, "Yeah, and obviously I can't ask NHS workers in care homes to wear that, and I can't tell the PM because he'll just think I'm stupid, so it's in storage, in a big yellow storage in New Malden." And then he started crying again. And he told me that if the press found out, he'd be toast. Yeah, he was sobbing. So I just let him cry for a bit, you know. And then after a bit, he gathered his composure. And so then I got the banjos out of their cases and we made a start on a few basic chords. And again, you know, his face just lit up when he realised he could strum and make a, you know, passable noise on it. And then I gently sang, "When I'm Cleaning Windows," as he strummed, you know, a few chords and even changed key. It was like he was witnessing the birth of his first child, you know. He really is very damaged, Brian. So I'm not sure we should do anything other than help him, really, at the moment. I'm not sure he's in the right place for business decisions, you know. That's just my take. That's just my take. Okay, mate, speak soon.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, Roger. It's Brian. Okay, mate, so we're on. I've spoken to Laszlo, and he's got a contact in Krakow who's happy to take all the PPE with dicks and tits on off Matt Hancock's hands. Laszlo assures me that they don't have the same sort of hang-ups about photos of tits and dicks on PPE as, you know, as we would here. So if the quality's good, then they'll take it off the government's hands, no problem. I mean, you know, if it's just sat there doing nothing, then you know, what's the harm? This does all depend on you, Rog, and I'll just add to that that this could be worth an absolute fucking fortune, Roger. You know, I'm talking life-changing money here if we get this right. And you know, obviously, I'll cut you in fair and square. All I ask is that next time you teach Matt Hancock the banjo, you tell him that you know somebody who can take the PPE with dicks and tits on off his hands. I would do it myself, but I really do think that you've got his ear now and he trusts you, which is great. So this is what I'm going to do. If you can pass on Laszlo's email address, it won't be his email address, but an email address and a phone number, and we'll take care of the rest, Rog, okay? This is it, mate. This is the big one. Cheers, Rog. Bye.
Hello, Brian. Roger here. So, I think Matt Hancock's on medication now because he seemed loads calmer today. We're making steady progress. You know, it's four steps forward, two steps back kind of thing. But he's obviously been practicing, which is really good. It's very encouraging. He really wanted to do some Oasis songs, which, you know, they don't sound great on the banjo, let's be honest. But he's the health secretary, so who am I to judge? So we had a go at Wonderwall. You know, it was hit and miss. About 15 minutes towards the end of the lesson, I found a moment to mention that I knew somebody who could sell the PPE with dicks and tits on to a contact in Krakow. I was nervous because, you know, I didn't know what he was going to say, but he was so medicated, he just stared into the middle distance and he just said, yeah, okay. And then he took the number and the email address. So, yeah, I mean, great. Fingers crossed, I suppose. Okay, bye, mate.
Hello, Roger. Fucking me. We've done the fucking deal with the British government to transfer a shitload of PPE with tits and dicks onto the Eastern European outlet. He's paid me a deposit, Rog, which is in my bank. It's in my bank. Jesus cunt in Christ, Rog. That's the easiest bit of business I've ever done. Okay, so this is what happens next to receive everything else. You are about to become a very rich man, Roger. So he really doesn't want any press to find out. So he wants my best man to deliver the goods to Krakow personally. That's you, Rog. So I will see to it that the tits and dicks PPE is loaded onto the truck from the yellow storage in New Malden. All you have to do is get it to the contact in Krakow. Once you get there, you'll get £500,000 on delivery. Hancock has taken care of all the paperwork and it'll be green lights all the way through Europe, no bother. That's guaranteed. And that's it. Okay, great. Cheers, Rog.
I'm off the ferry, Brian. I'm off the ferry and I'm driving to Poland. I've got all the gear in the back of the van. I sailed through customs. They just waved me through, didn't even check anything. Nothing. Good old Matt. Oh my God. I left really, really quickly though. So all I've got is the petty cash you gave me for the petrol and some food for the journey. But I can't believe that when I arrive in Poland, I'm going to be rich. I can't believe it. I can't believe this is happening to us, mate. After all we've been through, I don't think I've ever been this happy. I'm spending the money in my head, if I'm honest. I mean, honestly, I could cry. I bet I can get Claire back now. I bet you she'll come back to me. Oh my God, I'm going to make sure Jamie wants for nothing ever again. I'm going to get him everything he needs, honestly. Oh my God. And of course, you know, I'm going to give some to various charities because, you know, that's just, it's good karma. I don't need all of it, but I just, oh my God, the relief. Oh, I'm so happy, mate. I couldn't thank you more. Oh, honestly. Oh, I'm just going to take a nice, gentle drive through Europe to Poland now. Okay, mate, I'll speak to you soon. Bye, mate.
George Bernard Shaw, he went to town. He went to town on a monkey's back. He went to town with a lentil sail, and he was in the brought his name to. Roger. And you little cunt of joy. I'm fucked. You can give it all to charity. Roger, you saint. If you fucking want to, cunt face. Couldn't give a fuck. So this little piggy hasn't slept for a while. Because I sent Caleb out to get as much cocaine as he could. And I've been holed up with 6 19-year-old IT students taking a lot of cocaine. A lot of cocaine. And then I sent for the whores. And by the magic of the internet, 4 Russian key workers turned up at our student accommodation and went swiftly to work. With burning wax and whips. The boys, even in their coked up state, they couldn't really handle it. And they drifted away into the ether. But I can't get enough, Roger. I can't get enough, Roger. They all put a strap on and they all had a go on me. Taram tara, taram tara, taram tara. So I'm going to buy a white Rolls Royce now and maybe get some metal teeth. Cheers, Raj.
Hello, Brian, mate. It's Roger here. I'm sorry to disturb you. I know you're having, you know, like the time of your life and stuff, but I've arrived in Poland, and it's really cold.
one thing, but there's just, I think there's a bit of a confusion here. So I just wonder if you could get in touch and just, because I think I need to get Laszlo to sort something out here. So if you could get back to me and yeah, and we can hopefully work this out. Okay, mate. As you were. Okay, bye. Hello, Brian. It's Roger again. I phoned you about 3 hours ago, mate. I don't know if you got my message or not. I just wondered if you'd managed to speak to Laszlo yet, because as I say, there's just a bit of a confusion this end. I think there's a problem with the money. And there's a translation issue. So I don't really understand what they're saying to me. But they said the upshot is I'm getting paid, but I'm not sure. Anyway, look, if you can get back in touch with me, because I'm getting a bit hungry. I need to become rich. Yes. Okay, mate. Okay, bye. Hello, Brian. It's Roger. Just checking in, really. Just I really do need to speak to Laszlo, mate, because something really weird has happened. A big lorry has turned up with loads of parts in it. I think they want me to drive it back to England. I don't know. So if you could just give us a call, that'll be great. Thank you, mate.
Hi, Roger. It's Brian. Sorry it's been a few weeks, but it's been bonkers this end. Okay, so obviously when you have to get these deals through quickly, there were a few terms and conditions and caveats and what have you, which were put through a bit cack-handedly, to be honest, and unfortunately, you know, necessary to get the deal over the line. One of those caveats, as you'll have no doubt discovered, is you're going to be paid in Polish second-hand tractor parts. It's the only way we could get the deal over the line, mate. So so sorry about that. But the good news is that the Polish tractor parts market, according to a distant source, is really buoyant, apparently, which is cool. But unfortunately, you can't take those parts out of the country because of fucking Brexit. So it's just so much paperwork. Now, the best way to shift the stuff is probably at auction, but I appreciate that, you know, you won't know what you've got and what it's worth, etc. So it's probably worth staying in Krakow for a while and getting your head around the tractor market. Yeah. If it's any consolation, not long after my binge, the feds turned up and they explained that it wasn't Matt Hancock's call to sell the PPE with tits and dicks on it, and they took the money back. But I did get a new Subaru with a personalised number plate. It says Silk 1, which is cool. Okay, mate. Bye.
Written by and starring Dan Skinner and Harry Peacock. Produced by Joel Morris.
Need.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.